Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Let's see what we got. It's 2:05. We have Bernie Miklas coming up at 2:30. Attorney Brad Young, who's just always money, he'll be here at 3. Skip Weber's coming in at 4. Lots of stuff along the way. In studio, I have Lauren Ponder, who is now a friend of the show, founder, director, and death doula of Last Call and End of Life Festival, happening October 4th, this Saturday, right?
This Saturday.
10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Eden Seminary in Webster. That's a beautiful facility. Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Thanks so much for having me today.
Yeah, we're just talking. When I first met you, I was amazed by what you did. I knew that I could never do it. And now I'm doing something similar.
Now you're in the game.
Yeah, it's one of those things about life. You just like never say never, right?
Right.
You just
never don't know. Never say never, because we're all guaranteed to experience death in many ways throughout our life. So yeah. We can't avoid it. We can't hide from it.
Yeah.
As best we try.
How did I know this story, yeah, in interviewing you several times, but I don't remember how this started with you.
It did start from a personal experience for me. So my mom had early onset Alzheimer's, and about 10 years ago she died, and I accidentally became her death doula in that way. And I mean that by sitting visual with her and understanding what was happening. And we had a hospice team there that was so lovely and really guided us through what was happening, because none of us, meaning my dad, me and my sister, knew what was happening or what to do or what to expect. But she was a great presence of just being there with us and telling us what was happening. And I got the opportunity to tell my mom that she had done a great job and she could let go now and we were all going to be okay. And I found out later, when I actually took a training class to become an official end-of-life doula, that is part of what we're educated that it's okay to do for, yeah, especially our loved ones, to say, hey, you did a good job.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I had a moment with my mom because the room was full.
Yeah.
And then I had a moment with just her, and I took the moment and I grabbed her hand. And I'm not going to cry.
It's okay.
And I said, look, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
I need you to know that I forgive you for anything you did, and I need you to forgive me.
Yeah.
Which was powerful.
Yeah.
What's more powerful than that?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
And she kissed my hand 3 times.
Nice.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. You're going to make me cry.
Making a death doula cry. That's hard to do.
That's an achievement,
but
Dave.
It's making a divorce judge blush.
Yes, right. Yeah.
But I thankfully had a beautiful moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not everyone gets that.
Not everyone gets that. And that's what's really unfortunate. But I think part of that is because we don't talk about it soon enough. And we are scared of what's going to happen. So a lot of us fight getting those extra resources to help us through that moment. It is historically known that hospice is called in too late many times, that people don't utilize those resources because they don't want to give up. They don't want to.
That makes sense.
You know, and so culturally, I want us to get a shift away from that language of giving up. It's not giving up. This is a natural part of life and death that we're guaranteed. It's just how you want to experience. So embracing it a little bit sooner might make that a more peaceful death for a lot of people and a better experience with hospice.
And we're so fortunate to live in 2025. I'm sure in 1025, there were very few peaceful deaths.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have modern medical technology. Right. We have people like you who will be there for people. Like, It's about as good a time to die as we've had.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And there's more resources than a lot of us know about because we don't want to talk about it.
Right.
So that's my hope, is just to get more people talking about it in nice, lighthearted settings like this, where we can laugh about it. We can have a full, well-rounded conversation about it without fear of what's going to happen.
I've only had a few people ask me like medical questions. And I always say, not a doctor.
Yep.
Not trained.
Yep.
But I can tell you this from personal experience.
Right.
And that's so helpful.
Yeah.
I know when it was my mom passing, I was just had a voracious appetite for, what about this?
Mm-hmm.
What about this?
Mm-hmm.
How many more days could it be? What about this? Is she in pain?
Yeah.
And it's just nice to be able to answer a few of those simple questions for people.
Right. Well, and even the death doula still asks those questions. My aunt recently died, and she was able to be at Evelyn's house in at BJC, and that is a 24-hour facility, right? And so they're there full time, but I was still her niece in that moment and was asking those questions of like, well, what's going on? Why is she still here? I thought this was going to happen days ago, you know? So we're still allowed to be human.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing too. Like in my experience, people typically stop eating and drinking.
Yep.
And then it's just a few days.
Right.
But they're out of it. They're very quiet.
Right.
They're very peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a lady last like 9 days.
Yeah.
We just couldn't believe it.
And they can wake all the way back up and have a short conversation. They might want to stand up and go somewhere for some reason. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
A lot of people talk about needing to go somewhere, or I need to get my stuff ready. And that's very common at end of life for people to know in their body that they need to do something, but maybe not realize that that's just being.
The last one I did was interesting because I was in there with a partner, and the woman's grown granddaughter came in. And, of course, had no idea who we were. We explained to her, and we said, we're going to give you a few minutes. And she died 5 minutes after she left.
Yeah.
Do you believe that they have the cognizance to
absolutely
wait for people?
Yes.
Or wait till you're gone?
Yes. And they do sometimes wait until you leave the room, which is what my aunt did. But in my mom's case, I was actually felt a little bad for my brother because I told my mom, like, it's okay, you can go. And he hadn't gotten home yet.
Oh.
And then I had guilt for that of like, oh, maybe I should have asked her to hold on just a little bit longer until John got here. But I hope he doesn't hold any grudges for me because of that.
This Saturday from 10 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, Eden Seminary, Last Call and End of Life Festival. Mm-hmm. Who's this for and what do you learn?
This is for everybody, all ages. We have 4 panel discussions happening, which I'm very excited about. So there's a little bit of something for everybody. There's also little mini sessions, more like TED Talks, so you can come and learn something. Or if that's too much and you just want to check it out, come walk around, talk to the vendors. Lots of great people there. We'll also have some interactive things. We have a telephone in the wind, so many opportunities to learn and practice talking about death and dying.
Yeah. How has this changed for you over the years?
Yeah, this has changed from my side gig that I did just as a passion project to my full-time gig. And I'm really, really trying to reach more people where they're at. So before, I was just this girl with a big smile on her face who maybe freaked people out because I was smiling as I was talking about death and dying. And now I'm a little more practiced and kind of meeting people where they're at with it. Yeah. And still getting them to feel comfortable talking to me, but maybe not as boisterous as I always am.
Yeah. When people find this out about you, and you obviously think back over your mm-hmm. years of doing this, do 1, 2, 3 people stand out to you? Do you always remember the same ones for some reason?
Yes, absolutely. I remember the people that I probably caught a little too off guard when I was describing what I do or how I interact with them as they're approaching their end of life. So, yeah, I definitely have those moments that I would maybe adjust if I had the ability to, but I adjust it going forward with my new people. So
For people out there, because we've added almost 100 volunteers since I started at Bethesda. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously a lot of people out there mm-hmm. willing to do this.
Yes.
If there's anyone listening right now and they want to join me and No One Dies Alone, or they like to join you and learn mm-hmm. more about you this weekend, mm-hmm. what could you say to influence them towards doing it?
Yeah, we are not scary people. We want to help you engage with death so it's a more positive experience, a good death for people versus a hard death.
And it is possible to have a good death.
It is possible to have a good death. Very possible.
Yeah. Always good to see you.
Thank you.
Good luck on Saturday.
Thank
we'll
you so much.
We'll hit it for you a couple more times.
Awesome.
Yeah, keep up the good work.
Okay.
Thanks.
But it's my destiny to
be the king. Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. There's a little black spot.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus in America too. She's a good girl, crazy about Elvis, loves horses, and her boyfriend too.
Oh!
Welcome back, guys. DG S on KMOX 219. We have Bernie Miklas coming up at the bottom of the hour. Today's National Coffee Day.
Woo-hoo. Ooh, I need more coffee today.
Yeah, how weird is the jet lag? I've been to Europe before, but I was so young, I don't think it had much of an effect on me. I don't remember it. But it's like a 13-hour flight just from Dallas to Japan, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about that first.
That's tough.
13 hours.
Yeah, I feel like in the past I've downplayed it. I'm like, it's not that bad. It's tough.
Yeah,
it's a hard lot. To get yeah. through. It yeah. really is, especially if you're like me and you don't really sleep in those situations. For the people who are able to fall asleep, it's like, yeah, just take a couple of naps, watch a couple of movies. But when you're awake basically the whole time or trying to sleep and failing, it gets pretty... you feel like your life is on the plane and like you've never lived anywhere else yeah. and you will never
gonna live anywhere
place.
Else.
Yeah. yeah. And then you're like, why am I even doing this? And yeah. then as soon as you land, you're like, oh, right. Yeah, this was totally worth it.
And for me, my anxiety on this one would go to there's no way this contraption can run 13 hours in a row. Like when I drive to Colorado or Florida, whatever car I'm in, I'm like, we don't make it another 10 miles. Like, it just seems impossible that humans are capable of creating vehicles that can run that long, especially one that flies through the air.
Yeah, and flies mm-hmm. over the ocean. And I kept thinking, you know, I try not to let this rule my thoughts because yeah. at that point, like, why are you even going if you're going to be anxious the whole time? But I kept thinking of these stories that we talk about on the show all the time where it's like, yeah, they got 4 hours into the trip and then they had to turn around and go back because Ugh. Someone did something stupid or someone got really sick or this
Can
and
I
that.
Can I take this call?
Sure.
It's insurance.
Yeah, take it.
Live radio.
Yeah, live on the air, please.
And she gets to the phone like, oh, hey, insurance company A, you're live on the radio. What do you say to that?
But yeah, the jet lag thing, it's tough. Like my first couple of days of the trip, I was pretty darn tired the whole time. Then you kind of adjust. But then by the time you adjust, it's time to go back,
it's
and then you
to
have
turn
to readjust.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah, the first couple of days on those longer trips, it's all adrenaline,
yeah.
right? Like, you're fired up to be there. It's exciting. And that gives you that little extra to
yes.
kind of push through those days. And then after that, you tend to settle in. You've been on a bit of a routine. You've mm-hmm. somewhat slept on that place's clock as opposed to your own clock that you're used to when you go
yeah.
somewhere. I haven't done the 13, you know, like that distance is a different thing than going to Europe.
Mm.
Europe's a lot easier, my experience, a lot easier adjustment. Not that I've been a million times, but I've done Europe a couple times. And then the only thing that I can come close to is going to Sydney.
Yeah.
Which is.
What's that, like 15?
It's like 16 hours
yeah,
from LA
wild.
Or something Oof. Like that. So you got to get to LA first.
Yeah.
And then, you know, whether you have layover or not, if you just count the fly time, you know, you got a few hours out to LA and then you've got whatever that is. I can't remember if it was 15 or 16, but it was also a long time ago. So maybe it's faster.
Did you have like movies on the plane?
Oh, yeah. Although, again, keeping in mind, not nearly to the level that we do now.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that was the 2000 Olympics. So it's 25 oh, okay. years ago. And it, you know, you didn't have the same. Didn't have an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have your whole catalog of music. I'm pretty sure I just had a bunch of CDs that I had burned into it and brought
CD
the CD player. And damn it, I probably had a bunch of books.
Yeah.
No, actually, what I had was magazines. I was doing a lot of my research for the Olympic stuff that we would be
oh,
covering.
Okay.
So you're just reading up on that, and then whatever other damn thing you get your hands on. I'm sure I think I read an actual book that on that trip too. You had so much time. You could just do anything. You could do all that.
Is that when you read Art of War?
No, that was more recent.
Okay. He told us last week he read Art of War on a single
last,
plane trip.
What's the last?
Oh.
That was
last,
the last book he read.
The last book I've read, I think.
Yeah, I downloaded a book to read on the plane. I told both of you guys I was going to read The Life of
yeah.
Pi.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't read it. I'm going to read it. I'm
going
to read it because I have it and I
yeah.
want to read it. But like, I would start reading. I'm like, I don't want to.
No, I know the feeling of having a book that you kind of, but like, I don't know. And then you get on like a plane or a train ride or whatever, and you sit down with it and you open it up and you go, I ain't reading this.
Yeah, I'm going to watch a movie instead. I did watch on the plane. I watched the first half of the first installment of Wicked.
Oh boy.
I was really enjoying it, and then it was like, oh, this movie's got to be about over. And then it was like another hour and a half, and I said, I give up. Never mind.
Yeah, you still had 13 hours to go.
I know, but I just...
That's too much.
See, this is why I make the plane ride actually harder on myself, because I don't just focus on a thing. I'm like, well, I don't want to do that. So then I just end up sitting there and like,
no, I would do the same
staring
thing.
Into space.
100%, I get it. You end up just looking out at the dark ocean.
I also watched A Complete Unknown. The Bob Dylan.
Timothée
Chalamet. That young man... is a fine actor.
He's a fine actor.
I thought I was watching Bob Dylan.
He's
at
a good
points.
Boy.
Look, you might not like Bob Dylan. You might not be interested in the movie. Fair enough. All I'm saying is, it is pretty rare for me to watch like a new movie these days and be completely hooked the whole time. And I truly enjoyed the entire film. It was really good.
Look out.
He was excellent.
Gotta get him in Wicked.
What's that?
Gotta get him in Wicked.
Yeah, get him playing the Wizard of Oz or what have you.
Or whatever. I'm waiting for more of his action hero turn.
Dune Part 3.
Yeah.
Dune 2 was great.
Yeah, it was fine. I liked the first Dune better.
Yeah, the new ones are good. I never liked the old one.
I mean, that was...
Not the books. Yeah, I always thought those movies were dumb.
First one was quite dreadful.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad it's not just me.
Yeah, not just you, for sure. Definitely not.
I'm okay being on my island if it's just me. Just saying, it's nice to know that in this case, that wasn't just me, because I hated those. When they were making a new one, I'm like, why would they make another one of those?
Oh, you guys know what else I watched on the plane? The first 5 episodes of the Frasier reboot.
There's a reboot?
Yes.
I don't know if I knew that.
It was Frasier taking place in like 2022.
Oh, wasn't that only like a streamer?
I think it was on Paramount Plus.
That's
or
what
something.
I mean. Yeah.
So I hadn't seen it. And then I'm like, well, now's my chance.
Well,
it was a delight.
It was good?
It wasn't good, but it was Frasier.
The vibes were good, huh?
Yeah, it was better than no Frasier. And it was like, he would get himself into these situations, and it's like, here we go again, folks.
Is he still like on the radio in Seattle?
No. So, look, turn the channel if you don't want a Frasier spoiler. He stops doing his radio show, and for 15 years, he does a television show.
Called Frasier?
I think it's called, like, I forget what the name of it is. But it was, about him being, you know.
Hmm. Was he a Dr. Phil type character?
Yes, exactly.
So it was
like
a Dr. Phil show.
And then he gives that up and he begins a new teaching career. Oh. And that's what the series is about.
Oh, that's...
It's mainly about the relationship between he and his son, Freddie, who has a very small role in the original Frasier.
Yeah, so you barely see Freddie, right?
Yeah, he pops in every, 15 or so episodes.
Who was his wife again?
Her name was Lilith.
Lilith, that's it. Yep. Yep.
Fraserina.
Yep, I remember Lilith.
Mrs.
Lilith Fraser. Was like mean, man. She's like, take no BS from any of you stupid people.
I love Lilith. She's one of my favorite characters.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Time to talk to Bernie Nicholas. Bern, how's your weekend?
It was good, man. I OD'd on college football Saturday as usual, and while Sunday was a little quieter, I still got all the football I can handle in the NFL and then some.
Good. Well, let's start with baseball as we transition into a new season. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you guys, but when on my phone and on my iPad, my two links to civilization, I had an open tab for the past 6 months of Cardinals schedule and score, and just deleting those, kind of, I got a little emotional. I'm just like, well, crap, this is going to suck.
You know what? I still like their season, which I don't think it makes me a homer. It just makes me someone who loves baseball. There were some things about this team to like. And there was also some things about this team that was a little confusing, which is okay because it was a confusing season anyway with the way it was set up. But I don't know how to evaluate it. I mean, listen, they weren't that good. They had a chance. You know, at the end of May, we were all excited, and I understand that. I was excited too. But since the start of June, the Cardinals had the 13th best record in the National League. They had their worst record in the NL Central. So Walker and, to a lesser extent, Gorman, but both of them were either flops or terribly disappointing. The starting pitching was never good, once you got past the first couple months. So I'm not sure, you know, in other words, what I'm trying to say, the people that would be really nasty or critical about the 78 and 84 record, I'm not sure what they expected. I mean, when you don't have starting pitching, you have hardly any power. You can't steal bases. You know, you don't have much team speed. You don't manufacture. I'm not sure what kind of record people thought was realistic. I think the Cardinals finished pretty much where they should have finished.
Yeah, they finished where almost every projection system had them.
Right.
All of them had them somewhere in the upper 70s in wins. And it's because of what you said, Bern, is there were too many, not enough players really overachieved or really took big steps. Like Alec Burleson got better, but it wasn't like a night and day difference. It was just he kept growing. He got better from the year before. Mm-hmm. And it's a good sign. And Mason Wynn, kind of the same, right? He continued to be a great defender, still figuring out the offensive side. Wasn't a big breakthrough by any means. And a lot of the guys you were hoping would break through either had more injury problems or just didn't do it.
And if you, the only thing I will say about what could have been, and it has nothing to do with, the Cardinals should have spent more money or they should have signed more free agents. No, they told us what the season was going to be about. So I don't know why we would expect them to all of a sudden spend money and make all these aggressive moves that would, impact the future in a bad way. But if, and I think it was a long shot, granted, but if Walker and Gorman had come through, and I'm not talking about all-star level performances, mm-hmm. I'm talking about just being, let's just say Nolan Gorman slugging 435, 440, hitting 20 some home runs. If Walker hit for average, chipped in 15, 16 home runs.
Yeah.
If both of them hadn't struck out as much as they did, I do wonder how many more games they would have won. And I do wonder whether they would have stayed into this. They even could have stolen that wild card. See, they needed a guy or two to carry them. And with all due respect to Burleson, like you just said, I mean, he's a really good hitter. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
For sure.
But, if he's the guy that's carrying you, and if Ivan Herrera, who got hurt too many times, if he's carrying you, but only part-time because he's injured, you almost had to have really good, surprisingly good seasons from Walker and Gorman, even if it was the odds were against it. And those two guys didn't come close. Although Gorman for 3 months was really good, near the end of May to the end of August. He was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But he relapsed terribly, and that was very disappointing.
In what way? Because I'm one of those guys, I like both of them. I root for them. I'm sure they're wonderful men. But if you gave me $10 and said, bet whether they're going to be solid everyday players in the future or not, I would say no. Mm-hmm. How much runway do they have left going into spring training and next year?
Well, I think Kevin Wheeler and I agree on this. Listen, I don't know what Heim Bloom's thinking. I don't know whether in his mind he's written off both of them or one of them. I think it would be foolish to trade Walker unless somebody offers you something that really catches your attention, because Walker needs to play AAA baseball. He's got a chance, but he's got to do it at AAA, and he's got to show some hunger and determination and consistency with approach. He's got to prove that he's worthy of another extensive chance in the major leagues. I would give him that opportunity before I would trade him. I would take one more look, but it would have to be a AAA. With Gorman, this organization is so pathetically low on power. He has power, but he does not have the consistency to go with it. Mm-hmm. I'd be more inclined to take a chance on him. But I'm like you, DGS. I'm not in any way, shape, or form looking at this and saying, oh yeah, you just give these guys more time, they'll be terrific. I know I can't go there.
No, it'll be interesting because they're going to move some guys. I mean, Katie Wu, I think, said the other day on a podcast that two of four between Nootbaar, Donovan, Burleson, and Gorman would be traded, which makes sense because we've talked about it, Bern. Lot too many lefty bats for the same positions, and that's that group that we're talking about. And I think it seems the most logical path for Heim Bloom to follow is forget how much you like each of those. Just evaluate the offers in return. What are you going to get the most for?
Well, that's right, 100%. Because it's easy for any of us to say, "Well, trade this guy, trade that guy." I've always said I've become kind of a nag about this because when I converse about trades and this and trades and that, I say, "Well, are you going to tell me who the Cardinals would get before I give you my opinion?" Because why would I say, "Oh yeah, trade him for what?" If it's a stupid deal, why would you want to trade him? If it's a great deal, why would you want to turn it down? Right.
Right.
And this, to me, the same applies to Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras and Nolan Arenado, but especially Contreras and Gray. I mean, Arenado's not going to have much trade value. And I think even he knows that. But I think Gray still has trade value, and I think more so than Contreras. But Contreras has got trade value, but I think Gray would be the guy because there are a lot of good teams that have one really good or good starting pitcher guy like who's had a good career. You know, one guy is capable of elevating the rotation. If Sonny Gray's more consistent, if they believe he'll be more consistent, I think there'd be quite a few teams be bidding on him if he waives his no trade clause, which I think it depends on which teams want him, right?
I would think, right? I mean, he seems to be prioritizing, at least when he came here, part of his winning, right? That's going to be at the top of the list. And then geography, because he's a Nashville guy. I don't know how that's all going to play out, right? We need to see what the market looks like, but there have already been rumors about the Braves possibly having interest because a couple of their young guys are going to miss a lot of time with Tommy John coming back from Tommy John, but they're close. They're not in a rebuild. They want to come back and be good. So like there are possibilities that could make sense. It won't be just like one choice or two choices, I would think.
I would say this because, you know, we're all talking about, okay, who's going to be traded or who should you trade this guy or should you trade that guy? Will Leach and I did our Seeing Red podcast today, and he said this, and I agree with it 100%. He said, any guy you're talking about trading, unless you plan to sign him to a long-term contract, the fact that you're going deeper into a rebuild, if you don't circle a guy or that guy or this guy and say, no, we're giving him a long-term contract. If you're not going to give any of these guys, younger guys, a long-term contract, then you trade them. What's the point of keeping them?
That's a great question.
I mean, in other words, you got to go all the way with this.
Yeah.
You know, there's really no reason to hold on to Brendan Donovan for 2 years when you're going to be in a pretty heavy rebuild and you're not going to be set up to win. What is the point of keeping him for 2 years only for him then to walk away? And you're not going to give him a long-term contract. He'll be 29 years old next season.
Yeah.
It isn't that I don't like it. We all love Brendan Donovan. That's really not the point, though, right?
No, it's about where you are. I mean, if this team was where it was 6 years ago, then you'd probably give him an extension.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm even a big – we're all big Mason Wynn guys, but I used to think, well, maybe it's automatic they'll give him a long-term extension, and maybe it will happen. But then again – I wonder what if the Cardinals and only they know what the medical reports say. I wonder if they have any hesitation because they're not quite sure about this knee problem that's been there now for 2 years off and on.
It's a fascinating question. And so today's we got the official transition started, right? Mo did his final press conference. I thought did a good job kind of wrapping up 30 years because it wasn't about this year. It was about just like, you know, the whole time
there. Of course.
And then tomorrow at 10 a.m. and we'll be airing it here on KMOX. And then after it airs, we will have pretty much nonstop coverage of this transition until about 1 o'clock tomorrow, until we start DGS. So that'll include Bernie tomorrow on his normal Tuesday on the Gas House Gang, Ranji, Ackerman. I'll be in there too. Matt Pauly will be in there. Maybe grab Claves too. In that time, we have this long window where we're going to react to it. I think it's a big deal, and I'm really curious to hear, Bernie, just honestly, just the words that Bloom chooses. You know, the way that he talks about it. I was joking earlier, you know, we have a lot of history with Mo, all of us do, and that's why you know his mannerisms and you know kind of the words that the crutch words that we all have. He has his own crutch words. And I'm really curious to hear about messaging because I think we all agree that messaging has been very mixed these last couple of years. Right. Like walking the line, not committing to one thing or another. I'm really curious to see just what we find out tomorrow.
I'm not all that curious because I think I know what we're going to find out tomorrow. Oh, I'm curious to hear him speak.
Yeah, yeah.
But Bill DeWitt Jr. hired him to rebuild the team. I mean, they've had one of their worst three season stretches in modern history, and they have no power hitting and they don't have any major league ready starting pitching. The talent is very thin in most places. They need to rebuild. And nobody likes the word. I get it.
Yeah.
So, but he was hired to rebuild the team. He would otherwise, Bill DeWitt would have hired someone else. But Bill DeWitt loves his ability, the track record with developing players, drafting players, making young players better by having a great setup in the player development system. And that's already happening. But he's going to rebuild the team. And I think he's going to tell everyone, I was hired to do this and we're going to do this because I believe in it. I believe in, you know, I believe that this is the right thing to do. What he's not going to do is gaslight people. You know, he's not going to try to have it both ways. Well, we really need to rebuild, but hey, we're not ruling out, you know, having a really good club next year. You know, I don't think you'll get the gaslighting. And I think that's really important. And I, you know, I've been talking to people around Bloom and they say, no, he's going to be really straightforward. People might get mad at him, but because they don't want to hear rebuild, but they will respect him for his honesty and his candor.
Yeah. Bern, tell us about Saliga before we let you go.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I play golf now and then once a year. I don't watch golf ever. I just find it boring to watch golf. But my TikTok, I kept getting all these stories about the Ryder Cup that the U.S. crowd, the gallery, was so incredibly over the top, rude and loud and vile. I have come to know that the Ryder Cup on both sides of the pond is more... exciting, and there's more people shouting and cheering and jeering, but this one really went over the top and, you know, making all these allegations about Rory to his wife and throwing a beer on her. And what the hell, Wheels?
I don't know, man. What the hell about how anybody acts right now? Like, you're at a sporting event that is not, I mean, like, look, this isn't a wrestling event. Where that kind of atmosphere is just, and I'm not picking on wrestling, I'm just saying it's just kind of a wild atmosphere, right? That doesn't mean it would be okay to throw a beer on somebody. It doesn't mean it's okay to, you know, do the things that they were doing to Rory McIlroy's wife, saying, oh, your husband's cheating on you. Like, family is crossing the line. But, like, ragging on a player, heckling, as long as you're not, again, crossing certain language barriers that... You know, you're swearing and there's kids around and things like that. There are ways to be that way and to be a sports fan and have that kind of interaction. But A, know your venue. It's golf, right? It's not a college basketball game. It's not a college football game. It's not even a Major League Baseball game. It's a different vibe. Secondly, You don't ever cross those lines with family and heritage and any of that stuff. Why would that many, and it wasn't everybody, but it was enough to carry a lot of the audio that I heard. It's enough where it's bleeding through on the telecast. And I don't understand why anyone is just okay with that. I don't get, like, what did you think you were doing? Is this just because the U.S. was losing and now you're just being a poor loser? Did you think this was going to help your team win? I really thought what Rory had to say was interesting. He's like, man, I thought the whole idea here was you come out and support your people. It's not about coming down and tearing down anybody else. But, like, I don't know. There's a vibe that's going on around here that we don't have a handle on. Like, everything, it's almost like the edgelord angry is just okay now and we just accept it. I mean, if that's happening, why aren't people at the tournament? Why aren't people being thrown out of the tournament? Why aren't you being ejected for throwing? I mean, maybe I'm sure the person that threw a beer was. But I mean, if you're, maybe it's just that it's just so many people, you can't eject them all. I don't know. But that's just, I don't get it at all. I don't understand why that large number of people has to put up with whatever the percentage was that cannot keep this stuff in bounds.
Whoever's to blame, whatever's to blame, I don't know how every single person doesn't clock that we're going downhill in behavior, in mm-hmm. societal norms, in the moral contract. We're just all losing our damn minds.
We've been told that lashing out at other people now is perfectly okay. And unfortunately, it's not just happening verbally.
Yeah.
It's happening with real life violent consequences, too. And when we have an ecosystem that encourages it, this is what you get.
But do you, don't you want me to make it?
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.